Hi, this is Leonard Peikoff here to apply Ayn Rand's philosophy of objectivism to your real-life questions. My responses cover subjects of general interest, such as human relationships, career, and morality, but not current politics. My answers are posted every week on Mondays, and you can listen to full episodes on iTunes or listen to single questions or full episodes on my website. Several years of podcasts are now easily searchable by topic or keywords. If you have a philosophical question to ask me, simply go to www.peikoff.com, and that's spelled P as in Peter, E-I-K-O-F-F, like the word off, peikoff.com. And of course, feel free to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Could you list off as many objective truths as possible? No, I couldn't, because every truth is an objective truth. If it wasn't objective, it wouldn't be qualified as a truth. 2 and 2 is 4. The law of gravity, A is A. The validity of egoism. It's raining outside. You sent me an email. I mean, it's all objective. Now, the only person who would disagree with that is someone who would say, there are no truths. It's all a matter of opinion. Well, that's skepticism. I don't accept that philosophy. But if you have a proper definition of objective, then all truth is objective. The only alternative would be subjective or intrinsic, which means, in effect, something dependent on your feelings, and that is not a means of knowledge, or something dependent on revelation, and that is unacceptable as a means of knowledge. For I have a good chapter, if I say so myself, in OPAR on objectivity, what it is and how to achieve it. A friend and I agreed on a financial transaction after listing the relevant factors. Years later, he discovered that both of us had forgotten a relevant factor, and he is right about that. He was actually owed more money, and he wants the extra money, which is properly his. Do I have to pay it? Well, legally, you don't. If you had no written contract covering this kind of eventuality, morally, it depends. If he really forgot after diligent focus on the factors, then I would say, yeah, other things being equal, you should pay it. But if he was irresponsible or careless, then he has to take the consequences. It's like if a couple gets divorced and they make a careful division of their property, and then 10 years later, the wife calls the husband and said, I forgot that all those books in the basement are mine. Well, you know, one or two books, it depends how many, but it depends how this was, how carefully it was done and what was the understanding. There is a statute of limitations. Of every promise, there's a certain point at which it's too late to say we did it wrong or we have to do it over. If not, you can will your claim to your child, and generation after generation, his kids and grandkids will go after yours for the money. I can't say how long by, you know, the statute of limitations, but I don't know. I think for crime, it's, or for some crimes, it's 7 years. But if it's a long number of decades, I'd say, oh, forget it. It's too late. I think the amount is also relevant. If it's $200,000, and on that basis you went ahead and made certain investments and you're living on a shoestring and you can't get your money back without cashing it all in and losing 7/8 of what you've got, you have to tell them, well, I'm sorry. You know, we did it honestly. You made a mistake and it's gone now. It's, I can't part with it. Also, you should take into account how much is the money, whether it's 10 cents or $10 million, and whether you want to keep his friendship. So how big the loss will be to you now. So there's a lot of factors. But I can conceive of circumstances in which you should, and also many in which you don't have to. I get so many questions about what can I do in the rotten world we live in. Here's another one. If you have concluded that America will be a dictatorship in not too long a time, why did you choose to have a child who will presumably have to deal with this disaster? Well, I did discuss this issue with my wife at the time. We were both definitely concerned with this issue. But you have to realize we were thinking about this in the 80s, and to us, there was still a sizable life ahead before the worst would take place. And our attitude, to be frank, was we'll give our child 20 years of super happiness, and that'll be worth it to the child no matter what comes later. So we did it. I don't mean to suggest to you that, well, since it's later in the 80s, you shouldn't do it. You may as well ask the question then, if the future is that short, why shouldn't we all commit suicide and escape the disaster now? And the answer is because the disaster isn't here, because it's still possible. Yes, I do believe it is possible to prevent it. And there's a lot you can still get out of the world today, in productively, romantically, in terms of pleasure and happiness. Here's where I think the old ancient motto comes in. Carpe diem, seize the day. Now, we don't take that to mean be a hedonist and to hell with tomorrow, but you should say be a valuer and let one or two generations from now worry. Because I don't believe that the ultimate disaster is going to take place in shorter than a generation. Now, you know, I'm not omniscient, but I don't believe it. Now, here's a father. How would you handle a situation with your daughter marrying a man who was not right for her? Her choice right now is between a poor man who loves her and a rich man who claims to love her, but I think his feeling is just a superficial pretense. Should I just simply tell her, drop them and go and find a person with both qualities? No, I don't think you should simply say anything to her. If she's old enough to get married, it is not up to you to, quote, handle a situation, unless she asks your advice. Then you can give it. You can volunteer if you think she's making a horrendous choice, but it's not your prerogative to push, pressure, insist, demand. If she's an adult, she's got to make her choices by her concept of love, and that's all that counts. If she's wrong, she is then going to find out. I know it's awful to see, not that I have personally, but people who have done everything and placed everything on the child and given them every kind of great background, and then the child does something that seems to be fatal to their success in life, but they have free will, children. You can only go up to a point. You give them all the tools, but there are, you know, if it goes wrong, you can't do anything about it. And your role as guide has to diminish to, you know, a suggestion, an idea, but no longer pushing her. He has a funny PS. Should her husband, does he have to be Jewish? I assume a questioner is Jewish. And if my answer would be, not if she is an objectivist. Now, if she's an Orthodox Jew, I think it would be nice for him to be Jewish, otherwise she'd probably have a big problem. But if she is an objectivist, that would have absolutely no significance. Judaism can be conceived as a religion, and of course, objectivism is atheist, or Judaism can be conceived as a tribal issue, descendants of the original tribe, an issue of ancestry, which makes it a physicalistic criterion, which is also irrelevant to judging values or choosing partners. So if she's an objectivist, he certainly doesn't have to be Jewish. Out of curiosity, do you regularly listen to any talk radio or watch any of the opinion shows such as Fox, CNN, MSNBC, and if so, which shows? No, I listen to radio only when I'm driving in the car on an errand. So it's very variable. It's all different times of day, and it entirely depends what's on. I listen to Rush. I find him easy to listen to. Dr. Laura. I always like the questions. Almost always like the questions. Many times her answers. Those are about the only two that I get on a more or less frequent basis. TV, again, sometimes I put it on at dinner. Only Fox. The other two, I couldn't swallow. And on Fox, it's mostly O'Reilly, of whom I have a mixed opinion. Some good and some awful, but entertaining and capable of digesting food while watching him. But Hannity sometimes on Fox. Now, if you're asking me not about politics, but do I regularly watch anything on TV? Yes. There's only one TV show that I regularly watch, wouldn't miss. It's on TLC, I think that's the Learning Channel. It's called Cake Boss, CAKEBOSS. It is definitely my favorite show at this time. And if you want to know why, you can ask me. Is having children a form of slavery? Because after all, the child does not choose to be born. Now you're saying the child before existence doesn't choose it. But before it's born, there is no child, before it comes into existence. Therefore, there's no choice either way. It's like you're projecting, here's this unborn child, which means this non-existent child, saying, you leave me alone. I don't want to be born. You are forcing me against my will. This is slavery. That is a total fantasy. Until you create the child, there is none. And when you create it, then the nature follows accordingly. And if he really doesn't choose to be born, he has to wait till he's 18, and then he can take care of it and go back where he wants to get. In other words, annul your error. If you want to know more about Ayn Rand's philosophy, I invite you to ask me a question. I can't answer them all, but I do read them all. Just write to leonard@peekoff.com. And if you haven't already done so, start by reading Ayn Rand's two most famous novels, The Fountainhead and Atlas Shrugged. Thanks for listening.